Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's Managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta can make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
This is Cynthia Ganoff, and you are listening to the Mesmerized Podcast. Hey friends, welcome to the pod. I, in my entire life, have never been more happy that podcasts, or at least my podcast, is generally only audio. And let me tell you why, because we've got a situation over here. I've had a couple of skin cancers that I've had to have Mohs surgery for that we've had to take off my nose. And nobody cares, but I probably already talked about this, but it's just the reality of where we are. And so our friend, who's also my dermatologist slash plastic surgeon, said, you have to get the blue light laser done. Okay, sounds innocuous. A blue light laser, that sounds lovely. And so I've been putting it off and putting it off. And finally, they just scheduled me for one, found a time where I had like 4 or 5 days where I wasn't speaking or didn't have to be at something. And we scheduled it. And I didn't pay much attention other than I've had two friends that have done it. And we glanced at their pictures. They both had pictures when they had it done. And by day four, they look pretty good. So last Wednesday, as I'm taping this, it's Sunday afternoon, okay? So last Wednesday, I went in and I had the blue light laser and I came out and I was like, huh, okay. That was a little bit red. The next day is a little bit more red. And you guys, there's no words for how I look now. 4 days later, is it 4 days? Yeah, 5 days. I don't know. I've lost track of time. I can't go outside. One, because I'm not supposed to be in the sun, but more than that, because I will scare people. I'm not kidding when I tell you I made my neighbor's baby cry 2 days ago. The baby was over here. And took one look at me and like was clinging to my sweet husband for dear life, turned his head and he teared up. That's how bad it looks. It's not good. It is not good over here. And I want to tell you, I wish it was one of those things where, you know, you get a laser treatment, then you look awesome in 2 weeks and all the things. Like this was not like one of those, like, I don't know, where you try to do it and you look better and it's for cosmetological purposes. That's not even a word. See, I don't even have words anymore. No, this was preventative. Insurance paid it, all the things, you guys. And I look scary. And I have to speak to a group of women in 2 more days. And I'm scared for them. I'm really scared for them. I'm scared for me. It's not good. And so that's where we are over here. I'm scaring small children. And it's a little close to Halloween to be looking like this. Like people are going to think I had something planned. And so I tell you that, that's where we are. On a more positive note, Ellie Holcomb's here. Oh my gosh. I love interviewing Ellie. And today she's so much fun. She's in the green room before her concert with Lauren Daigle. She's been on tour with Lauren Daigle. And my goodness, is she fun. And for all the amazing things God's doing in her life, I love that she's so candid about the things that are hard and fighting through anxiety. And we're going to talk about that today. Just fighting words when it comes to the burdens we carry as moms, as women, the times when we're anxious. Woo! It's good. And so I'm just so thankful she's here. So here I go, kicking us off with my really sad face that is blotchy and red. No, it's not even red. It's purple now and peeling and really sad. And I want to say to you, you're welcome that this is audio only. And here we go with Ellie Holcomb. Ellie Holcomb, welcome to Mesmerize. How are you?
I am wonderful. I am in the, today I'm coming to you from Rupp Arena in Lexington, Kentucky, on tour with Lauren Daigle.
You are.
So I've got my green room couch down here.
You can't be all like, yeah, I'm just on tour with Lauren Daigle. It's fine, everybody. It's just me hanging out in the green room. Stop. Okay, we have to go back. You and I were trying to talk a couple weeks ago, and you were on the bus in the middle of, I don't remember what state you told me, and we couldn't get good enough Wi-Fi to do it. And then I was
we were en route. Yeah.
To where? Do you remember?
I think the first show, do you remember where our first show was? Okay. Somewhere up north, way up north. Oh, Detroit. Yeah, it was, yeah, but we had tornadoes in Nashville, so we had to leave later because you do not want to be in a bus when tornadoes are happening. So we were very late that first, for that first show, but all was well. But I was like, oh, this connection is not working.
Okay. It was not. So we just rescheduled and here we are. Okay. I need to know, I have so many questions and we're going to talk about something that matters, but we're going to start with bus tours. What is one, we have a bus, we sleep on the bus, we have snacks on the bus, we have our guitar and we're like hanging out with our husband, or sometimes he's there, not, sometimes our kids are, Lauren Daigle drops in, no, she flew in. We need a little information on the bus.
Little information. Okay, so there are a lot of buses on this tour because this Lauren Daigle tour is epic and she has a massive crew. So we're in a, I mean, there's probably how many, but I don't know, like 13 buses or something like that, all with different people living on. It's close living quarters. There's 12 beds in each, most buses. And yeah, Lauren Daigle will pop on our bus afterwards. People are hanging out. I love this tour. They get a food truck that comes after the show for after show food for everybody. Praise God. It is tight living. So I always say it, like you feel like a day in a life on the bus. It's not super glamorous. I'll just be really real with you. You cannot poop on a bus. You can't do it. It goes bad for everybody. So that's a situation for some people in the mornings. You wake up and you're like, okay, I need a coffee shop or a hotel lobby. At the arenas, it's great because you can just usually get into the arena, but it's, you know, it's not, it's cool. I wouldn't say it's glamorous. No. But you're like, I woke up today in the basement of an arena and I was like, where are we? I can't even see what it's like outside.
Okay.
And but so, it is fun. It is fun because you're playing cards, you're hanging out at night. So one day on the bus feels like a week at camp, basically. It's really tight quarters, but really fun.
Okay. So you're in a green room right now and for a concert, are y'all on tonight? What's going on?
Yeah. Tonight we are in Lexington, Kentucky at Rupp Arena. It's pretty fun. Cause the last time I was at this arena, I was at a Taylor Swift show, like the 1989 one. So a long time ago, but I'm like, I cannot believe I'm playing where Tay Tay was.
Okay, so then, Lauren Daigle, have y'all been friends for a long time or you just kind of know each other through the industry? And just give us a little insider. I mean, are you going nuts? You're loving this tour. Tell us a little bit.
We are having so much fun. Yeah. So we met really, I mean, many, many years ago before she ever released a record at CMB, like a radio conference. And I just immediately was like, gosh, you feel like you could be my friend. We just connected there. Fast forward to 2020, we were in a little group together that of artists that was gathered by a friend of ours at Porter's Call, who they're amazing. They're a nonprofit that do free counseling for full-time artists.
Oh wow.
Because there's some weird stuff that comes up when you're in this line of work. Everybody's just normal like any other human, and then some weird circumstances around your job and work. Like the in and out thing you asked about, a lot of times we bring our kids on the bus. Last week, my guitar player, Zandy, had her little boy out and my little girl was out babysitting for him. So his little crib was in the back lounge of the bus. You know, it just is like,
so
there's so much. It's a family. Willie Nelson, the life I love is making music with my friends. I can't wait to get on the road again. It's a family feel out on the road for sure. But for Lauren, she feels like my little sister. I'm about 10 years older than her. Deeply kindred spirit. And we just connected and of course had so much fun hanging out together, but then also started writing together. And so it's been so fun to get to perform together, and we're singing together every night on stage. We're about to, this is kind of new news, but we're about to release a version of the song that we wrote called Be Okay together that we recorded that first show. We like went into a little closet. They brought recording, you know, equipment in, and we did a version of that song together. So we are just
amazing.
It's been really fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm excited for you. I was watching, I guess on social or whatever, with the K-Love Awards and all you got to do there. And it just, and I could, yes, I mean, so fun. You've had so many fun things. And I couldn't help, because I know your heart, I couldn't help but think about this as I was kind of looking at your social and thinking about our conversation today, and so much I could ask you. But it's easy to see the public persona. It's easy to see the highs, right? But you're really, you're so good at saying behind that are also some hard, some lows. Like there's the real everyday that we're all walking. And so I thought I would just want to ask you that question, like without getting like too personal and too deep and like prying into all your business, but like, with all the awesome right now, like where's the Lord working on you? Where's he working in the hard?
Yeah, I love that question. I just finished a kind of adventure with God, called the 19th Annotation. It's St. Ignatius. Anyway, I have a spiritual director, and the program is 9 months, an hour of prayer and meditation every single day. Mm-hmm. And then you meet once a week with a spiritual director. It was one of the most transformative pieces. Like, it's like the most significant experience I've ever had with Jesus, and really changed and grounded me in a lot of ways. That ended in May. And I went cold turkey into it. I thought I was going to practice and be like, I'm going to do 30 minutes a day and like work up to an hour. So I did 9 months, an hour a day. And I just literally, I never practiced. I never got up early. And then literally I started and I was like, okay, we're doing this now. And it was so special. Mm. And then it ended and I cold turkey went all the way out of it. And I, after 2 weeks, in the last 2 weeks of May, my husband was coming in. So it's like, there's all these beautiful things going on. And it is hard, the management of kids and everything that they're doing, and then work and everything that I'm doing, work, everything that Drew is doing. And then we also work together. So there's a lot of moving pieces in our life. And so I would say like the realest thing that I could say is, that it is a lot, and it takes an entire village of people to help sustain and keep our family healthy. So I drop a lot of balls, and they are picked up by my management team, by our nanny that works with us, by family and friends. And so people are like, how are you doing all this? Mm-hmm. How are you spinning all these planes? And I'm like, I'm not. I'm dropping things all the time. Mm-hmm. And there's, I'm a limited creature, and there is grace and community. And so it is, that has been a really, but that those 2 weeks of losing that space, I've just learned I have to keep creating space where I am grounding myself in something deeper and truer than my own reality. And that is hard to do on the road, especially sometimes, because it's, you're busy. You wake up in a different city every day, you know? And so it's, that can be really hard. And then like the Caleb's, this is crazy. Cynthia, I was at the lake with my family. Caleb's comes up. You're like, this is an amazing, this is so fun. This is so successful. But I left my whole family who I hadn't seen, like extended family on Drew's side. And I was so sad to leave them. I'm like, I'm so grateful to get to go do this. I had so much fun. It was wonderful. And I like, missed a whole day at the lake with my whole family, which doesn't happen a lot. So there's a cost there as well. And I literally left like Caleb's, and
you went to Taco Bell.
I went to Taco Bell at 1 a.m. I literally was like late night drive, because I'm not going to miss another day with my family. And literally immediately was like, and we're back on the boat the next morning. So, you know, we power through with a community and Taco Bell.
Yeah. I mean, it helps. Seriously, if Taco Bell is not sponsoring it, they need to now, because here you go. It's
I know. They're the only ones open that late.
Yeah.
If you're 1 a.m., you need the bell.
Yeah, for sure. The bell. Ding. Okay. I heard you on something, I don't know, somewhere talking about this. And I thought it was so good. You were talking about how moms, we just carry heavy things. And I don't know if you remember this conversation, but you were saying like quite literally, like we carry babies all the time, and then we carry babies' equipment, and how we just carry these heavy things, and how metaphorically we do too. And how it's interesting, like God created us to that we carry a baby, and then we carry all the stuff. And I was thinking about this. I said yesterday to my oldest, don't have kids, like joking. I'm like, don't have kids, because you don't even know the things that will plague you, that you will pray over and cry over, that no one tells you. Like, I'm kind of joking with her about it, but my little one, he has one good friend, one really good friend. And that good friend just moved to Montana. And I mean, I just teared up and I cried and I was like, oh, and I was thinking about when you said that, like, isn't that the truth? Like, I'm tearing up thinking about this for him, but I'm like, we carry heavy things for our kids. And I'm just wondering, as you've walked these and you're talking about, like, I drop balls and I do too. I think about this all the time. And in a lot of respects, I think my kids are better for me having dropped some balls. Like they live life in not in a vacuum. They understand I can't be it all, do it all. You need some of your mom and a lot of Jesus. But I would just love for you to speak in that too, just the carrying the load of your kids. And yeah, you're going to miss it. And it's okay.
Yeah, and it's okay. And you can say you're sorry. I say I'm sorry. I practice like repentance in front of my children all the time. I'm like, okay, mommy should have taken a deep breath before I responded to that. I'm so sorry I dropped the ball on this. And I would say, even if you're not a mom with kids, I think as women, God created us to carry the burdens and the stories of other people too in our lives. And so I think a lot of times, whether you're a mom or not, you're carrying both your kids' worlds and their sorrow and their ups and their downs, and people in your family, people in your life, people in your community. And I think it's beautiful. Yeah. It's so representative of the heart of God, right? Yeah. That we're wired to kind of hold space for people like that. Mm-hmm. But I will never forget. I go back to this moment all the time because it's like a huge Ebenezer moment for me. But I had, my oldest is 11 now. It feels like when you have a kid, your heart goes out of your body and is walking around the world. And I remember her like going to school for the first time, and I was like preschool. And I'm like, I'm not going to be able to protect you and like control everything that happens to you.
Someone may be mean to you.
Yeah. Or help you process if somebody doesn't want to play with you. Like, you're going to be on your own for that. And so, but from a very, what I'm grateful for about this job, as crazy and like demanding as it can be sometimes, I have known from a very like young age for my children. And I don't think I would have gotten here on my own, because I'm more of like I can do it. And I think as moms, we're like, we are the only one, you know, like I know my kid. And that's true in a lot of ways, but also there's such a beauty in letting the community in. But Emily Lou was probably 2 months old. She got diagnosed with like, or hip dysplasia. Do you know what that is? Mm-hmm. Where your hip sockets aren't on the way in. I had it when I was little too. She had to be, and we'd take her to Vanderbilt. Any parent taking your kid to hospital is just like so hard. Yes. I think about just, anyway, you're even looking around the waiting room and you're like, this hurts every parent's heart to be there with your kid. And so I was just heavy hearted being there. She's in this brace. We were getting ready to go on a 4-month tour with the band Need to Breathe. And I was on her first leg of that, trying to figure out, can I take her out of her car seat in the bus to nurse her? Is that not safe? You know, I just want to make all the right decisions. And I didn't feel okay at that point taking her out of her car seat. And I did that all the time with my other kids. But I was in the bathroom of the bus pumping. And just like this, like, what is going on with my life? What am I doing? I'm so exhausted. Yes. And I did what I do sometimes when I feel desperate. Open Jesus Calling. I'm like, this is always the right thing on the right day. And I open it and I'm like reading through and I'm like, yeah, no, nothing.
Nothing.
This isn't helping at all. The only time this has ever happened truly for me. I love that devotional. But I was like, I am so tired, God. I need to hear from you. And what I felt like God said was, go take a nap. And I was like, that's not God. That's just me. I'm just tired. Yeah. And so I hand the bottle to my husband. I'm like, hey, I'm going to go rest. So I climb up in my bunk and I'm just, tears are streaming down my face. And what I felt like God said was, even though I've given you the job of being Emmy Lou's mom, she is my daughter first. And I am going to take such good care of her. And I was like, okay. And then on top of that, and even though I've given you the job of raising up this little person and training them and praying for them and teaching them, I know I've given you that role, but even though you have that role as a mother, you are first and foremost my beloved daughter, and I am going to take such good care of you. And I go back to that really low moment all the time. And something that I've been learning lately when my husband was on the road, solo parents, single parents out there, you are my heroes, truly. Like it is so hard and can feel so lonely. And one of the things in this season that I'm learning is, I would have a pathway of feeling like bitter towards somebody or wanting to blame somebody when things were hard with my kids. Somebody has an attitude adjustment that they need, or all three of them need it at the same time. And there's one of me, and I'm like, ah, right, Lord, what do I do? And there is this awareness doing this process of the 19th annotation where you're starting your days in the presence of the one who made you and who made all the people who you are given to care for and love. Where I really developed an understanding over the course of 9 months that we are co-parenting with God and He knows them. And so I can always go and be like, oh, because there are I don't know about you, Cynthia, but for me, there are so many moments when I'm like, I don't know what to do. I've never parented a kid at this age with this issue. And this is my first time doing this too. And I thought my parents knew everything. And apparently they felt just like I did. And my mom and dad have been so, and what you mentioned, exactly. My mom and dad have been so beautiful to say, hey, we probably got so many things wrong. We're so sorry. We love you. We want the best for you. And and to hear them saying that, my dad was like a workaholic for a lot of years. And he would say that if he was on this show with us. But God just got a hold of his heart, and he really like kind of about faced and changed everything about the way he was structuring work, and was like, I am so sorry. I've missed it and I've gotten it wrong. Please forgive me. And the freedom that gave me as his kid and as a parent to say, man, I am going to get it wrong sometimes. And I can come and say, I'm so sorry that I got it wrong. There's so much freedom in that for me. Absolutely. And to then know, like, God, I don't know what to do here. Show me what they need right now. And if I can get quiet, I don't know. I feel like he's been so kind to guide me in ways that I maybe wouldn't in my immediate first thought of how to respond go. You know, it's they actually just give him some space. Give him some space and then follow up later. And I'm like, oh, I'm like, we need your addresses and we're going to talk about it now. And I give him space and I go up and there's this tenderness that's happened in the space and quiet that they had. And so I'm like, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
We don't do it alone. Space.
Wow. What a word. Well, okay. So speaking of words, this is what we need to talk about, fighting words. And so you did kind of, what's the right word? I was going to say an updated version of it, but did you revise it? Or you added to it? What's the exact wording? It's expanded.
Expanded limited edition, which is hilarious because my 11-year-old daughter saw it. She was like, oh, it's so beautiful, Mom. She was like, what the heck does expanded limited edition mean? And I was like,
so what exactly is this, right? Yes. Well, I mean, I loved it. I mean, the gist of it, people, if you don't have it, you need it. You need the new expanded limited edition, which I'm holding right here. It's so pretty. And I'll tell you something that I love. I'm going to show you here. I don't know if you can see, but there's like notes in here and handwriting. I gave it to my I gave it to my college daughter. And she's been going through it, and it's, and when I say she's been going through it, it's interesting. And again, I've said this before on the podcast, and she edits it. She can take it off. She didn't like it, but she won't because I know her, but she's struggled with some anxiety. And she said to me, I love what Ellie writes because you fought anxiety. And I think this speaks to that. Like, what are the fighting words? You say 100 days of speaking truth into the darkness. And so, just speaking that a little bit, like just your heart behind that and the hard.
I love that. I love, and I just, if anyone is out there struggling with anxiety or worry or depression, I just want you to know you are not alone. You are not alone. And it is not who you are. Mm-hmm. That is not who you are. It is, you are a beloved child of God. And I promise you, God will use this and he will meet you in this, but it does not feel like that when you're in the midst of it. And so I just am saying that if that's where you are today listening. It's so interesting because this book really started as a conversation with a friend of mine, like 15 years ago. And this is not a conversation where I was like, ooh, this is going to be a book and a Psalms record one day. No, it just was a friend sitting in front of me who was severely battling depression. And there were so many lies that she was believing. And mm-hmm. I realized there were, in our conversation, that there were so many lies that I was believing about who God is, who we are, what he says about us. And so I just was like, I got really just discouraged, angry almost, not at my friend, but at the fact that there's this like presence of darkness, like an enemy who in scripture is called the father of all lies. And when he speaks, lies are his native language. And I was like, dude, I am so sick of that voice stealing yep. the joy, the peace, like that John 10:10 life to the full that Jesus comes to offer us. And I think when I was younger, when I thought about that verse, is I'm like, God wants to give us an adventure and a full life and an abundant life. And I do believe that that's true. But as I've gotten older and as I've walked through sorrow and suffering and loss and seasons of depression and sickness, I see that verse to mean we have full access to God's love, to his mercy, to his light, in the full spectrum of what it means to be a human. On the highest of days, when we are on the mountaintop, like firing on all cylinders, doing what yep. God made us to do. And in the deepest pit of the valley, some of the beds, which we make ourselves down there, you know, I mean, some of it's circumstantial, it's put on you. And sometimes you're like, I get my heart into trouble all the time. And same. Even when I make those decisions to get down there, there's grace and there's mercy and there's light even there. Mm-hmm. And so when we started memorizing scripture, we call them our fighting words, in an effort to kick back at the shadows with the light. And all I can say is that it started changing us, and it didn't change our circumstances. It didn't take away my friend's depression magically, but it gave us solid ground to kind of stand on when the shame storm started rolling in. And so that is where the book was born from. And I call it, it's a devotional kind of, but in my mind, it's literally just an invitation for you to bring your heart and your mess and your fear and your hope and your longing into the presence of God and sit at the feast of his word that he sets for us and to see how he'll speak to you. And so it is a book, yes, but it is to me more of a conversation that God might want to have with you. And it has been such, I love seeing your daughter's handwriting in there, because I'm like, he's having the conversations with her, because he loves to meet his children where we are. And so it's been such a joy. To do. And it's so funny, because when my daughter asked me that, she's like, what is expanded limited? It's just, they asked me if I would be willing. It's connected with a lot of people, which I am so grateful for. It started off on Instagram, you know, and people would be commenting. And then I started singing scripture on Instagram too, which is sort of where the Psalms record came from. But they were like, will you write more? And I'm like, no, I'm not going to do an expanded edition. I had 100 days. Like, I think I included pretty much everything.
Oh my God, 100 days, people. Yeah.
It's like a lot. And so I was like, no, we're good. Like, let's just let it go. Yeah. Like, we'll just pray about it. So I started reading through Cynthia, and I was just like, oh, I realized there were like several lifer verses, which is what my grandmother calls them.
Yeah.
Like the verses that if they were like a stone, like if they were an Ebenezer in your pocket, they'd be like worn smooth from how many times you've gone to them. And somehow in 100 days, I did not include many of those in there. And I was like, oh no. But to me,
apparently I have more.
Apparently I have more. And apparently, as it always turns out, there's more, there's abundantly more than we could ask for, imagine in God's word and in all that he has for us. But it has really become like a stack of paper Ebenezers for me, of stories of the ways that God has met me in some of my darkest moments of anxiety and fear and doubt. And so to see that connect or resonate with anybody is super humbling.
Yeah. I'm going to read y'all just a real quick bit. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is a light in my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is a stronghold in my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And then Ellie tells a story about someone broke into their house and took a TV, and how you had like crippling anxiety from that. Like, you're so fearful that somebody would, and you end it this way. And this is what my daughter has underlined. I'm going to read to you. Whatever it is that's breaking into your life right now, trying to steal your joy and peace, my prayer is that you'll hold on to his promises, friend, because when those break into your life, nothing can hold you captive any longer. He is faithful. He is a stronghold. He is a light. We don't have to be afraid. I mean, whew,
It makes me want to cry even now.
It makes me want to cry too. And just seeing it underlined in my daughter's notes next to it, I'm like, oh, it's so good. Okay. And then let's end this because I mean, I got to keep you on schedule. I mean, you may have to go warm up and do vocals with Lauren Daigle. I don't know, Ellie. I don't know what's going on over there, but. But I, far be it from me to make this not go well tonight. So here's my, my last thing I have to hit with you. So, as I was listening to you on a different podcast this morning, I was walking and we had one of those mornings in our house, you know, those mornings with your kids.
I do.
Oh, bless it. As we are taping this, it's summer. And one of my kids in particular, my youngest, he really needs structure. And so it's hard for him in the summer because it's not structured. And so we went walking. I walked him to his little day camp. It's in our neighborhood. And when I left, I was just like, oh my gosh, Lord, this is just a lot. And I remembered that you did All of My Days, the Psalm 23, the songs of scripture. And I had never listened to them. And I had my little Spotify and I was like, I'm going to listen to this. And I'm not saying this because I'm talking to you. I would say this to anyone else who's sitting here, even if you weren't sitting here. I mean, that preaches. And of course, God's word preaches. But the way you sing this, and I want you to just tell everybody real quick what it is before we go. But the way you sing it, and you, I mean, you just have the most incredible talent anyway. But your words, the way they articulate, like it is literally a different form of scripture, but it's God's word. And I'm telling you, by the time I got home from walking him back, I mean, walking him to his little camp and back, I'm like, okay, Lord, like you are good. You are a stronghold. You know, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. You know, like it just to have, it's just such a reminder of how having God's word planted in your heart is changes everything. And so, so don't let me be the dummy and say it wrong, but All My Days, I mean, it's on Spotify, but tell everybody what this is.
Yeah. You're literally making me cry. I mean, you just don't know where your music is going to intersect with people's lives or where your book or where your podcast, you know, like this is
totally.
But God is always inviting us to be a part of sharing what he gives to us with others. And so All of My Days is literally, it's straight scripture. And I'm like, I may maybe move like a phrase around here or there. So I call it ESV, Ellie's singing version of scripture. Yeah, yeah.
It's Ellie Holcomb's ESV.
Yeah. This is Psalms ESV. But it really does kind of follow the arc of it, for the most part. Maybe I'm repeating something that isn't repeated, but it really is just like God's word. And so, what I have found as I have buried God's word in my heart is that it has become like I hold on to those promises. And there's a lot of noise, Cynthia. Like we scroll, we have a lot coming at us. And so I'm like, if that is true, that there's a lot of noise, and if it's true that there's a lot of lies that I believe, what I want to get stuck in my head and what I want to be rattling around in my brain and in my heart and between my lungs and in my soul is the promises of God and the story of his love for me. And I want that for my kids. I want that for everybody. And a song has a way of coming in like the back screen porch door of your brain and kind of sitting with you and resurfacing maybe in moments that you didn't even know that you needed it. And so, I got a little kid who needs a lot of structure too. And I, in the day singing, just patting his back, like singing All of My Days over him. And it is such a gift to be reminded of the truth and to kind of carry that as like an ever-present source of light and hope, literally in your body. I mean, it's like an embodied faith for me. So my hope is that it would be that for other people too.
Well, it has been that for me today. And so, yeah. And you know what, Ellie, I just appreciate that. It was just, the Lord is really sweet to give me these moments of me being able just to affirm you and what you're doing, because people do that for me. I mean, I get a text or an email or someone just saying, thanks for what you're doing, for like, it's making a difference. And I think it's so easy to think our little portion of the world, like it's making a difference because my life feels a mess and hard and all the things. And so just know, Ellie, that it's intersecting well with real life over in the Yanoff house. But everyone, you need to get Fighting Words, because after all, it's an expanded limited edition. And I don't know what that means either. I'm with your daughter, but I think for sure we need it. I mean, by golly.
I will say it does have the 10 new entries this one. What's really cool about All of My Days is every psalm that I added has a song to sing with it. So if you're reading through the new devotionals, if there's a psalm, there's a song to help you bury that truth in your heart. So that was my heart for it. I was like, oh, it's hard to memorize scripture, and there's invitations to memorize scripture in the devotional. But if you're having a hard time with that, put all of my days on it and then sing it with me. Or come on Instagram. I do memory. I sing a scripture every Monday too.
On Mondays.
Of what I'm trying to hold on to.
So good.
And remember myself. Because I forget.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's awesome. Well, Ellie, it's so fun to see you again. Thanks for doing this from the green room. And favorite, last question, favorite thing that you and Lauren do, like favorite song, favorite moment of the show that y'all are doing right now. Do you have one?
Probably I get to come out in the middle of her set and sing this song that we wrote together, Be Okay. We wrote it for a little girl who was at the end of her life, who had a lot of questions, and literally was just found me on fan mail. And I started voice memoing back and forth with her. And I was going out to write with Lauren and I started this song. We finished it and we were able to send it to her just in an email, like a little voice memo, to kind of carry her from this world to the next. And, we had a really heavy year where we lost my cousin's daughter to cancer, like a really intense year-long battle. And it's so crazy because you can write a song for someone else's story and then hear it a year later and you're like, "Woo, I need this right now." And so it is such a gift to get to sing that with her on stage every night, knowing that probably in an arena full of people, there are people who have lost somebody that they love or who are walking through that. And so that's probably my favorite moment each night. And then getting to sing Psalm 39, we're singing that in my set, has been, from all of my days, has been an absolute joy.
I will put all of it in podcast notes. Ellie, awesome. So fun to see you. Thanks a million.
Grateful for you, Cynthia. Have a great day.
Okay, how interesting was that, hearing about the bus and all of them on this tour and riding on buses? Oh my gosh, sounds like super fun and bonding and really hard. And God forbid you have to go to the bathroom, like really, really go to the bathroom, right? Excuse me, can we stop at a coffee shop? Oh my. Wow, I love her. She's amazing. I will link her new book in podcast notes and be sure and follow her on Instagram. Oof, she is so encouraging. And I just, like I said, I love how she sings psalms and sings scripture. It just stays with you. It's beautiful. So grateful you guys were here. Will you do me a favor? Will you do me a favor on behalf of my shredded face right now? Will you leave a review for the podcast if you haven't already? Help people find us. It is so, so, so important and so helpful. And I would be forever grateful. So jump on wherever you listen to podcasts, leave a review. And you guys, thanks for being here.